Friends, we're going to turn to God's Word to consider it, and before we do that, we will pray. Father, we come again to you in prayer. Now, before we just spend time in meditation of your Word, we are reminded this morning that it's the entrance of God's Word that gives light. And so, Father, we pray that the light of the Word of God will shine in our hearts this morning. We pray that you will speak through your Word to all our hearts. And we pray, Father, that we will know that this is indeed God's Word to us. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. My friends, nice to see you all with us this morning. Often when it comes to a long weekend, especially this weekend, we wonder how many of our people would be away. A number are away, but it's so good to have you all with us this morning. And if you're visiting, we do give you a very special welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus. We want to turn to God's Word just now, and we're going to read from Ephesians. Those in the church will realize that we have been in the book of Ephesians for quite a number of months now. And this morning we want to read from chapter 4, verse 17, down to verse 24. And that is Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Now remember, as we read this, that he's speaking to those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus. And he said, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now this morning I use as my title the transformation that accompanies the new birth. Now I want to come back to this passage, God willing, next week. But I felt that I need to spend time this morning in looking at that 24th verse that we read together. As you look at that verse, you will see why I've given my message the title, The Transformation That Accompanies the New Birth, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Let me begin by asking this question: what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? You see, the word Christian, some are not aware of this, I'm sure, is only used twice in the New Testament. The word Christians is only used once, three times in all. Let me quote them to you. When Paul was speaking to King Agrippa, King Agrippa, Paul says, "Do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." And Agrippa said to Paul, "In a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian?" Then in 1 Peter 4, 15 and 16, it says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." And the other word, the other passage where Christians are mentioned, I'll just quote the verse. It says, "And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians." Now, those are the three times that we find the word Christian and Christians in the New Bible, in the New Testament, sorry. It well may have been a derogatory term used by the enemies of Christ. Remember what Agrippa said. "Do you think in such a short time you will make me a Christian?" It's possible that it was used in that way. Yet that name stuck. And today it is used in a very broad manner to describe a worldwide religion called Christianity. We speak of people and nations being Christianized, whatever that means. What on earth does it mean? Well, it is true to say that the word Christian is perhaps the most misunderstood word, or amongst the most misunderstood words in the whole world. How are we to understand what it means to be a Christian? And how do you and I know that we are Christians? Well, there's only one way. That is that we must track it back to its very source. As we said in the Bible study this morning, we must be a people who are Berean in our thinking. And that means that we search the scriptures to see whether or not these things are so. Now, right the way through the New Testament, again and again, we have so many verses that teach us what a Christian is. But because we are here in Ephesians, and I want to set the stage for my message next week on this passage, I felt as though we need to answer this question. We find the answer to the question here, as in many other places, in verse 24 that we have just read together, where Paul speaks to those in Ephesus who were in the church and professed that they were Christians. He said this: "Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness." And that's our text for today. Firstly, then again, what is a Christian? In the light of this verse that we have just read together, well, you can see at a glance, I'm sure, that it tells us that a Christian is a new creation. A Christian is a new creation. This is one, of course, of the most amazing statements that we find in all of Holy Scripture. It is something that we wonder about, something that we study the rest of our Christian life and continue to be amazed at it. You see what the text says? Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So every true Christian is a creation of God. I don't want you to miss that, friends. A Christian is not somebody who simply decides that they want to follow Christ. Whilst that is true, it is far, far more. Every true Christian is a new creation, is a creation of God. Just the same as God created man in his own image in the Garden of Eden, so God creates man and woman through Jesus Christ to become children of God. This truth comes through, as I have just said, throughout all of the New Testament. Now, by now, you will understand that I seek to use the Word of God to make these truths clear. And here, you don't have to turn to it, but I'll quote them. In John 1, verse 12 and 13, we read, "But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Who were born not of blood, not of humans, not of the will of the flesh, not because we decided that we wanted to be Christians, not of the will of man, but of God. And of course, we all know John 3 very well, where Jesus said to Nicodemus, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." The only way that you will be a Christian, the only way that you will be a child of God, is if you are born again. Firstly, then, we see that a Christian is a person who is born again of God. Or as some version puts it, born from above. So I guess, as a faithful preacher, I should say to you this morning, are you born again? You must be born again, Jesus says. And this new birth is not of the flesh. This new birth is of God. Secondly, the Christian is a new creation. A new creation. That's what our text says. Paul says in Corinthians, again so familiar, From now on, he says, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. And then you know this verse off by heart. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new what? A new creation. The old is passed away, and behold, the new has come. The old has passed away, the new has come. We have died in Christ, and raised with Christ, in newness of life. All this, he says, is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. So, this new creation, this new birth, is from God, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. And again, we all know Ephesians 2 very well, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And verse 10 is important. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Sometimes when I'm traveling in the South Island, I like to boast a little bit. And so we go to places like Ashburton, where I first of all went. And I would drive around the streets and I would say, do you know, you see that house? I built that house. You see that house? I built that. And here's a beautiful place. My friend and I built that place. What did we do? We created a building. And what we see just here is that the Apostle Paul is saying that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What did he use for our creation, our new creation, our new birth? Christ Jesus is the new creation. So we see what a Christian is. A true Christian is someone who is born from above, is born of God. And thus they have become a new creation. And that new creation is in Christ. Now, back to our text. What is this new creation like then? What is this new creation like? Now, my dear friends, please don't turn off here, because here is something that is vitally important for us to understand. And this text gives it to us ever so clearly. You see Ephesians 4:24? And to put on the new self, that's what we've been talking about, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now hold on to that verse, and I'll quote another verse that goes with it in Colossians 2:9-10. Do not lie to one another, seeing you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. This is the new self, not the old self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. After the image of its creator. And our text says, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Note what these two texts convey to us. That we're after the true creation, the new creation, is made after the likeness of God. It's made after the image of its creator. Oh, my dear friends, please think about this. It says here in these two texts and in many others that true Christians are like God. True Christians are like God. You know, there's a sense in which that greatly surprises us. But there's another sense in which it should not surprise us. Why? Because like begets like. Like begets like. For example, an acorn. You know what an acorn is? An acorn is something that grows in an oak tree. And that those acorns fall of the oak tree. If you take that acorn, which is about that size, and you take care of it and you know how to grow a tree, and you plant it and you water it and you care for it, what will that acorn become? It will become an oak tree, not be a banana tree. It will be an oak tree, an apple seed. You take that little seed out of the apple and you know what you're doing and you plant it, it will grow, but it will not become a chestnut tree. It will become an apple tree. Take an egg from a hen that has been fertilized, put it under a chicken, and let the chicken sit on that egg for a period of weeks. What comes out? A lion. No, a chicken. Because like begets like. And so, we should not be surprised when this text says that we're created after the likeness of God. In true righteousness and holiness. What should then we expect of someone who is born of God? Could you answer that? What do we expect from someone who is born of God? We expect God-likeness. Likeness unto God. In what way then are we like God? In what way is a Christian then like God? Someone will say, Alfie, you're skating on very thin ice just here, because you realize that God is holy and perfect. And I don't see anybody in South City quite like that. My dear friends, I understand that. But you should never dismiss the great truths of Holy Scripture in that manner. But you should always spend time in analyzing and studying and looking into the Scripture and seeing why it says this and in what way do we become like Christ. Text again, I keep giving it to you. Put on the new self. Put off the old self. Put on the new self. That new self is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, the question, in what way is a Christian, a true Christian, like God? A true Christian is like God, this text says, in true righteousness and holiness. I want that to sink in. In true likeness and in true righteousness and holiness. The new nature longs and craves for perfect righteousness and holiness. You understand that? If you're a Christian, if you're truly a Christian, then you will crave righteousness, true righteousness, perfect righteousness, and perfect holiness. Listen carefully to the cry of this new creation. Now, Apostle Paul told us over and over again that he is a new creation in Christ. Please listen, and I'll read these verses in Philippians 3, verse 8 to 14. He says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake," he says, "I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. And to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that," not having a righteousness, I want you to note the words, "of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." He says, this is what I want to do. "I want to know him and the power of his resurrection." Now remember, he already knows Christ. But he says, "I want to know him better, the power of his resurrection. I want to share in his suffering, and I want to become like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead while still here in the body." And then he says this in verse 12. "Not that I have already attained it, or am already perfect." Now you see what he's aiming at, perfection. "But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own." Speaking as a man who wrestles against the flesh, the world and the flesh and the devil. "But one thing I do," listen carefully, "forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And what's Paul saying here? He's saying, "I'm not going to rest until I am like Christ. And that will mean I will battle the world, the flesh, and the devil. I will pursue righteousness and holiness with every fiber of my being. The day will come when I will enter into my rest and I will be perfect. But whilst I'm here upon this earth, I will pursue it day after day." This new nature then is like God in the sense that it is ever and always in pursuit of righteousness and holiness. So you can see the new nature is like God in that sense. Not like God in the perfect sense, but like God in the sense that it desires perfection, pursues holiness and righteousness and godliness. Why is this so? Well, because of what we have just said. Because a Christian is someone who's created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, that new nature will wrestle, will fight, will contend with every form of sin, with the world and the flesh and the devil. It will detest evil and delight in good, and it will pursue the Lord Jesus Christ and cry with the hymn writer, "Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole." Remember the question we asked at the beginning? What then is a Christian? A Christian is someone who is created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, they are righteous, but their righteousness is not their own righteousness. It is the righteousness of Christ. "I am covered over with the robe of righteousness my Father gave me." Today we are a people who are righteous. We are made righteous in Christ. But we're also people that pursue righteousness. And so because of that, the true believer, the true Christian, is one who will hate sin and pursue righteousness and holiness. This then, my friends, is the biblical definition of a Christian. You know, sometimes I grow very sad when I listen to people define Christianity. Sometimes I become alarmed when I ask someone, "How did you become a Christian?" And the airy fairy response is of great concern to my soul, because it seems as though they do not understand, nor do they seem to appreciate what it really means to be a Christian. This definition causes me then to ask this question: am I a Christian? Am I a Christian? Because this is how we will be able to answer it. There's no question in the whole world more important than to ask than that. Can I assure you of that today, my dear friends? No question more important in all the world than to ask oneself, am I truly a Christian? In the light of the definition given by Holy Scripture. Why? Because it will determine our eternal destiny. It will determine our eternal destiny. Whenever you get to heaven or to the door, when you stand before God to give an account, there's no point in you said, "You know, I was a fairly regular attender at South City Reformed Baptist Church. I often listened to Alfie Orr preach and other preachers preach the word. I sought to live the best life that I possibly could, and one day I asked Jesus into my heart." My dear friends, That doesn't define a Christian as we have just seen. It's seen as a new creation. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. Jesus, in thinking about this, said these words, and they're familiar to you, and I'll quote them. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Does that puzzle you? Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, and this is the point that really makes us sit up and be concerned. On that day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?" And then will I declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Please, my dear friends, listen to the words of Jesus. Many will say to me on that day, pleading to get into heaven, saying, "Lord, Lord, do you not remember when we prophesied in your name? Do you not remember when we cast out demons in your name? When we did many mighty works in your name? Do you not remember that, Lord?" And they're pleading for their own souls just here. And the Lord is saying to them, "Depart from me, you cursed, because I never knew you." That is one of the most awful passages in Holy Scripture. And who is it addressed to? It's not addressed to the man who says, "To heck with all of Christianity." It's addressed to people who talk about the Lord, who preach about the Lord, who try to cast out demons in the name of the Lord and do other works, and yet they're cast into a lost eternity. They declare Jesus to be the Lord, but wasn't his son. They're not born again. They never were born again. They are not a new creation. They never were a new creation. Perhaps these are people who have signed a decision card, who have walked down an aisle, who have prayed the sinner's prayer, or perhaps have even preached and prophesied and tried to cast out demons, but they were never, ever born again. They were never, ever created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. My dear friends, I never find it easy. And the older I get, I honestly find it harder to say these things. But I realize that I must be faithful to God and faithful to men and women's souls. How then can I be sure that I'm a Christian? Well, let me say this, and I must finish because time is gone. I can be sure that I'm a Christian when my Christian faith causes me to hate my sin listen, it causes me to hate my sin. It causes me to cry out for forgiveness and continually come to the throne of grace to ask that the Lord would forgive us. It causes me to repent of my sin. To repent of my sin. Nowadays, Abram talked about this just recently. Nowadays, this whole idea of repenting of your sin, many are saying, many evangelicals are saying it is wrong. You don't need to repent. Means that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart. Oh no, you will not love him as you would want to love him, but you will love him with the deep, deep love. You will delight in the law of God. The law of God will be your Bible. The law of God will be your guide day after day. You will search the scriptures daily to see how God wants you to walk in righteousness and holiness. And you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, this is the transformation that accompanies the new birth. It's the transformation that accompanies the new birth. And so you can see that there is no point in saying I'm born again, and there's no point in saying I'm a new creation, if in your life and in your love for God, that doesn't show through. What an amazing thing it is to be a Christian. To be a Christian. There's nothing quite like it. What an amazing thing to know that you're born again from above, that you're a new creation. And so you can look back in your own life that you're called to put off, and we will come back to this next week. And you look back in your own life, your old life, and you say to yourself, that's what I used to be. But by the grace of God, this is what I now am. I'm not what I would like to be, but praise God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Tell me, my dear friends, ask yourself, talk to God just now, answer this question to God. Am I a Christian? Am I really a new creation, born of God? Do I love the Lord Jesus Christ and love to come to this table, love to meditate on the cross and there remind myself of what it cost the Holy One to bear away my sin? Created in Christ Jesus after true righteousness and holiness. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow to thank you for your word. Lord, this morning, we must confess that we don't understand why you should choose us, why you should come to us in the darkness of our sin, enlighten us. Teach us about Jesus and his finished work. Give us faith to believe in what he has done. Bring us out of darkness into your most marvelous light. Bring us up out of the pit of sin and set our feet upon a rock and establish our going. Put a new song in our lips, even praise unto our God. make us your children forever. Lord, we don't understand all of that. But we thank you that it is true. We thank you for everyone this morning who can say, in the light of what we have just considered, I am truly a Christian. Lord, of anyone here this morning who are honest by saying, well, no, I don't think I am, may you have grace upon them. May your grace cause them to see the answer in Jesus Christ. Bless your word. Oh, dear Lord, bless your word to all our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.